WBTM, and good morning, Dr. Gary Miller. How are you, sir?
Very good, sir.
Good to have you in. You've been on council long enough. You've seen a number of things. You've seen progress or lack of progress in different initiatives around. So as I'm getting all the members in, I'll ask you basically the same question as the others so people can do a side-by-side comparison. And one of the things that has been coming up is the River District, the money that was invested there. What has your history been in terms of your feelings about that area, and how do you feel about it now?
Well, I was an early proponent of renovating the River District. I was there when we went to Greenville, and some of our council members were reluctant to do so and didn't want to spend the money. I encouraged this. I thought we could do something good here, modeled after what they did in Greenville. So from the very beginning, I've been on board, and we've really got some good investment. We've invested about $30 million of our funds in grants, and mm-hmm. we've gotten $140 million in return. So it's yielded high dividends. At this point, though, I think we ought to scale back a little bit. The idea from the beginning was let private development do most of the heavy lifting, and I think we've gotten to that point, so I don't think we need to continue to invest quite so much money. And some of the projects are not as favorable. So I think we ought to scale back and take the training wheels off and let the River District run on its own.
So the city got the momentum going. We're making money off of it. So now let the private sector begin to
do most of the work.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, education. Do you think there's anything that needs to be changed? How do you feel about the council's relationship with the school board? Should you have a little more say, considering the fact that you fund them?
Well, I've been meeting with them on a regular basis, 3 to 4 times a year, and I think we've got a much better relationship with the school board right now. We're in this together. It's to our benefit. If the schools are good, if the schools get accredited, the teachers are happy, they stay, we retain the good teachers, economic development will advance.
Mm-hmm. And generally, when we have a council election, something is hanging in the air that needs to be paid for. Something new, something that needs to get bigger. This time are the discussions about doing a little bit better job funding the retirement for the emergency responders, police, fire, those folks. There are different types of taxes being bandied around. Some people are saying maybe we should cut services somewhere. What do you feel at this point, and we're not going to hold you to this, but what do you feel are a couple of the best options in getting that done, if you feel it should be done in the first place?
Well, I've talked to quite a few firemen and policemen on an individual basis, and their greatest concern is not their salaries. Now, our salaries are competitive with surrounding areas. It's the retirement. We are very in favor in council of lowering the retirement age from 30 years to 25 years. This is what other communities do, the vast majority.
Is that because that's dangerous work?
It's very dangerous work, I talked to a fireman the other day. He was 55, and he says, "I'm just getting tired of putting on a lot of heavy equipment. Now I've got to wear bulletproof vests in addition because people are shooting at the firemen."
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it's just wears you. You know, and his back and neck were hurting. You know, it's an occupational hazard. So, he said, "This is a young man's profession, and after 25 years of grueling fire or police work, they deserve to retire if they want to, and we also need to improve their retirement benefits." That's the main things that we fall short of in competing with other communities.
And what's the short list now of ways to come up with the money to do that? It will take some money, some funding from the city.
It's going to take the money, and we're debating on how much to increase the retirement benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes have been mentioned, raising the meal tax. I'm only in favor of doing that if that's going to specifically be put on a project such as retirement benefits or increased teacher pay, not just to increase the meals tax and put it in the general fund.
There you go. So it's got to be earmarked towards something specific.
Yes.
Very good. Now, in terms of taxes, we've heard of meals tax. Are there any other tax options being floated with council right now?
Not at this time that I'm aware of. We did raise the real estate tax last year, mm-hmm. and we are still the fifth lowest in the state, but that's not being looked at this year.
Now, we mentioned also the possibility of cutting services. Are there any services the city has that could still be cut? Because you folks have created some very good efficiencies over the last 8 or 10 years. Is there any other fat that can be cut, or would anything be painful?
Well, the city manager is going to bring that back to us and see. We have to be very careful. If we cut services, we're cutting employment, and our unemployment rate goes up. And you don't want to overdo it like they did in Richmond, where they cut their public works in half from 49 to down to 21 employees a couple of years ago, and then ask for private citizens to mow the parks and the median strips because they weren't getting done. They didn't have enough personnel. So, you know, if you cut services too much, people are not going to be happy.
So it's going to be some kind of tax. Now, as you talk to people, do you feel like most of your constituents agree that these people who have worked dangerous jobs all their lives should get these benefits increased, and they are willing to pay some kind of meals tax increase? Not that they want to, but are you hearing that that is considered a reasonable?
Yes, the vast majority, 95%. You know, a penny on the meals tax, you know, first of all, you don't have to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go out to eat, you know, if you spend the figures the city manager can have, $3,000 going out to eat a year, it'll cost you $30 more for the year. So that's not much.
We're talking with Councilman Dr. Gary Miller this morning. We're bringing them all in so that you can hear them. If you miss any of these, you can go to our website, WBTMDanville.com. Look right at the top, see behind the mic, click on Hutch, and then just scroll down. You'll see these interviews and others on there, because we want to make sure that the people who are going to be making these decisions, everybody has opinions about them. And so we want to make sure that you are matching up the candidates with what you think are the right things to do. And in terms of education, other than just the school board, are there any other ideas that you think should be changed, or do you think that's something that you don't need to focus on right now as council?
No, that's a prime focus. You know, we've gone along with the increased teacher pay. We've got to get our teacher salaries competitive. We're not competitive with surrounding communities and in this state. We got to retain teachers. It costs a lot of money to recruit teachers. Just like to a fireman or policeman, I asked the police chief, and it costs $40,000 or $50,000 to train a policeman. So every time you lose one, you got to go through all that again.
Mm.
So you better keep in the policemen, the firemen, and the teachers you have. They're good, rather than losing them and then having to retrain and recruit.
So you can actually run numbers and say it would be cheaper to give these guys a raise if you're losing a certain number a year and you're paying for that anyway for the retraining.
Exactly.
Plus, if you keep somebody, you've got years of experience there.
Definitely.
In this town,
yeah.
Do you think the police, their focus now with the new chief and the neighborhood policing, those kind of things, trying to establish relationships in neighborhoods, do you think that's a good way to go?
But council has asked for several years to do community policing. Get the police out in the community, build the trust of the citizens so that the first time they see a policeman isn't when there's a crime. They know the policeman or woman. They trust them. They confide in them. They provide witnesses, and people get convicted. That's been a big problem. I asked the chief, Booth, I said, you came from Richmond, where they had community policing. And I guess you have the same problem here in Danville. People don't talk to the police. And he said it's worse here than it was in Richmond. People don't talk to the police. They see something, but they don't say something. And then, so nobody ever gets convicted. We don't catch the criminals.
Because they don't trust the police in the first place.
They don't trust the police. So community policing, I think, is a great thing. We need to get not only the central police station. We need a better police station. This is a disgrace. We need a place for the police feel secure, where they can meet with the police chief and other policemen. You know, in that recent crisis with the shooting by the policeman, 10 or 12 people showed up to talk to the police chief, and the mayor and I and the police chief were talking to them in the hallway of the police station because there's no place to sit down with people. He could only take one or two in his office.
So they don't even have a conference room for the police?
No conference room. No room for their evidence. Their evidence room is run out of space. They need a central police station, but also they need a safe police station. You can just walk in anytime, and they need to develop these satellite stations at 3rd Avenue and Green Street and other places and staff them regularly.
Interesting. Now, has a study been conducted on that? Is there any motion forward to begin working on that the way we did the same thing for the fire department and gave them a new station?
It's underway, and Mondays will... we're looking at a place to put the new fire new police station. Yes.
Excellent, because you talk about people who need it, and of all people, people who need a private place to talk. If I were going to talk to a policeman about a crime I saw, I wouldn't want to stand out in the hall with all the gossipy ears around. Exactly. That also would cut down on trust level.
Exactly.
I will sort of keep tabs on that. I'm glad you're doing that, and I'm encouraging that. And let's talk about, got about 4 minutes here. We're talking to Dr. Gary Miller this morning, one of the council candidates. The electric rates always come up. We always remind people we are in the middle of a long-term contract. But there are some people who might not remember that council actually did a study some years ago, and you reminded me of this morning. Tell us about that.
Exactly. Current Mayor Gilstrap and I were the two council members. Fred Shanks is on utilities. We discussed this for several weeks, open hearings, took it back to council. At the end of the day, it was decided, you know, it was still going to be very expensive. We were committed to contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Your service level will go down. Right now, if the power lines go down, you've got people locally to fix the lines, but otherwise you're going to depend on Appalachian Power or whoever bringing in people, and you're not going to get priority to get your lines fixed and lights turned back on.
So this was a study of, I need to clarify this, this is a study of whether or not we should sell the utility to an outside company.
Exactly.
And you found out that Danville's doing a more efficient job. And of course, as you just said, providing quicker service. And when the power goes off, you need quick service.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that was the decision by council. And everybody that's on council now made that decision.
So it's out of our hands, essentially, what the rates are because we're in a long-term contract. But you have done, as council, you've looked at every other option to see if the rates can go down. And we're pretty much with this to the end of this contract, correct?
Exactly. But there are multiple contracts. They expire year by year. It's not mm-hmm. just one contract. But the other thing we can do, like in Kentucky, we're developing solar power. I'm a big proponent of solar power, wind power. If you go to the Netherlands or Germany, you see little solar panels on the roofs of houses. They produce power in their own house, use it, and sell it back to the co-op. They're much further north. We have a lot more sun than those countries, and they're making it work. We can make it work.
And if you've never seen, I'm glad you brought that up. You need to drive by Kentuck Elementary School
exactly.
and Dan River High School out there, because there's, when it caught my eye, I couldn't believe how big that's several acres of solar panels out there.
And there's no transmission charge. We don't pay to get the electricity from the Ohio River to here. Transmission charge is a big factor. And the middleman raises the rates all the time.
Yeah, and they can do that because they've spent millions putting those lines up. They're going to make their money back.
Exactly.
And have you heard an estimate of how many houses that solar farm in Ringgold can produce? It's a bunch.
It's a bunch. I think it's 700 or 800. It's that Ringgold area.
It's amazing.
We need more of those.
All right, and we've got a couple of minutes here. What do you want people to know about what you would be doing on council, what your opinions are? What would you say you're going to add to council if they vote for you, Dr. Miller?
Well, I just want to say why you should vote. You made that comment at the beginning, why you vote for city council. I had a doctor tell me that city local elections aren't important. Well, they are. So far this spring, just in campaigning, I've got Pinecrest Street and Schoolfield put on the priority list for paving because the citizens complain how rough those roads are. I went straight to the public works director. Utilities, lighting on North Main is poor. Riding on Kemper Avenue is poor. These are the high crime areas. They need the new LED lighting put in first. We've got that prioritized, myself and other council members.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the council can help you get through the entanglement of red tape. And, you know, if you're having trouble getting through the bureaucracy of government, come to your city council member and sometimes we can help you.
I'm glad you made that point, because in 23 years of interviewing council candidates, nobody's ever made the point that if you get in touch with a council member and there's particularly a neighborhood-wide issue, you can get that put on a front burner. But that's a really good example of why local government is important, not only to vote, but to follow what's going on and
exactly.
to keep up with council. So thank you. I appreciate that.
All of us do that on a regular basis. Now, you know, you should try to go through the regular channels, but mm-hmm. if you don't get what you need, or you get entangled,
mm-hmm.
come to your council member. Call us.
And why the council? Why do they have such juice? Because they're the ones who clear the budgets in the first place.
Exactly.
You have to be everybody's good friend.
Exactly.
Right. Dr. Gary Miller, great to have you. And you always do your homework and add interesting perspectives to this. Appreciate you coming in, sir. And good luck on the council election next week.
Please vote May 1st.
Yes, sir. Thank you.